that the Lord should be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Acts of the Apostles and the 8th chapter and the 35th verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and the 35th verse. The subject stands in connection with a wonderful picture setting forth the sovereignty of God in how sinners are sought out by the Spirit of God and made manifest as being numbered with that vast host ordained to life eternal before the world was built or time was born. Most of you, if not all, will be acquainted with the details of it. But there is in this subject, I believe, a line of truth that, if grace is given to open it up, it may be helpful and profitable to us. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It might be well, first of all, to say something about the preacher, Philip. And it is very instructive, especially to those whom God has ordained to go forth to preach. Earlier in this interesting chapter, it is made plain how, when the church has been persecuted, that God overrules it, and it yet works out more for the church's good and for his glory as the church's living head. At this time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And this is very instructive. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And it is evident the Spirit of God inspired Philip to do so and ordered all his goings. And the result was very wonderful to contemplate. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And it must have given great encouragement to Philip that God had so guided his steps that he should be where he was, and that the preaching of the gospel should be crowned at that time with such great success. And now, many were wrought on by the Spirit of God, and they were baptized. But it tells us there was one man named Simon. And before Philip visited Samaria, this man was looked upon as someone great because he used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. And now, when the Samaritans were wrought upon by the Spirit of God, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And now what follows is very searching and solemn. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And now all this had to be looked into by the apostles and put to a crucial test, so that when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Philip was not able to do that because he was not an apostle. He was a deacon, yet qualified and ordained of God to preach and do that work that God purposed that he should do. And now it is to be seen that Simon, although it says Simon himself believed, it was not with living faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, not to purpose and profit, but he offered the apostles money, if so be they would communicate to him that power, that on whomsoever he might lay his hands, even they might receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, how Peter rebuked him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. There was neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right with God." And it tells us that when the apostles had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And now think, if you can, and those whom God has sent out to preach can follow it very closely in their own soul's feelings. I say, think if you can of what Philip's feelings were, that he had baptized one who was indeed a hypocrite, one who was not genuine. And yet Philip had given him face value when he made a profession and baptized him on the strength of it. And then it proved that he was not what he professed to be and what Philip hoped that he would prove to be. I have no doubt Philip had many searchings of heart, sorrowful reflections, but I have a feeling that the Lord, in his kindness, looked upon Philip, knowing what his feelings were, and he comforted him. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. You will find this was a journey of round about 100 miles. And I have no doubt Philip had many reflections, because while he was in Samaria and preaching, and such signs following, he would indeed rejoice that the gospel was being made known to so many, and the Church of Christ being built up thereby. And now he has another engagement made for him to preach. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. Here was the purpose of the Lord in giving him instructions to go down to Gaza, which is desert. Philip might have thought as he journeyed on, what purpose could there be in going there? For it was desert. But there was a poor sinner there who was to be made manifest as being on the Lord's side. And to Philip was given the privilege and the honor to instruct him in the things of God. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I believe in that declaration in the Word of God, you have got evidence that this Ethiopian eunuch was already a sinner born again. He did not know much of the things of God of a truth, but there is one feature which is a sure evidence of being a sinner born again, and that is to be made teachable. You must remember who this Ethiopian eunuch was, of great authority, of under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. And he would be a man well educated for the age in which he lived. But he was reading the Word of God, reading in Isaiah. And there was that in which he was reading that was made attractive to him. And he desired to have a right understanding of what he was reading. The Word of God says, the meek will he teach in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. And dear friends, it is a wonderful mercy to be made teachable. And that is one of the evidences of godly fear being in exercise in a sinner's breast when God has lodged it there. If now I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. And so the eunuch looked at Philip as though he was what he really was, a godsend, and desired that he would come up and sit with him. and the eunuch put forward what was his concern. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself, or of some other man? Then comes our text. I have no doubt it was a wonderful pleasure to Philip to be able to lead this eunuch into somewhat of the mysteries of the kingdom of God and unfold them to his understanding, for the angel of the Lord had directed him to be where he was, and the Spirit of God anointed him to lead this eunuch into the truth of God to purpose. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as you think of a subject like this, ere I come to open it up as my mind runs, what a word it is to instruct those of us who do try to preach. What our subject matter must ever be: the gospel of Christ. Like the Apostle Paul, when he said to the church at Corinth, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Philip delighted to make it plain to this eunuch that Isaiah was not speaking of himself, but of some other man. And that man must always be referred to with a capital M, and preached unto him Jesus. And now when you go back to that beautiful chapter in Isaiah, and I feel it is one of the most solemn settings forth of Jesus Christ and his sufferings that are in the Word of God. And yet Isaiah was inspired of God to record what is written in that chapter 53, 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. And yet every word in that chapter refers to Jesus Christ and the details of how he would come down into this world to do love's redeeming work. And there is this thought also in that opening word of chapter 53: who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Those who do go forth to preach with divine authority ponder that question many times as they labor in word and doctrine upon Zion's walls, and sometimes they are ready to say, I have labored in vain and spent my strength for naught. I remember how surprised I was long years ago in my early ministry when searching the Word of God to find that this word I have read to you related first of all to Jesus Christ. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I believe sometimes those whom God sends forth to preach the gospel, as they labor in word and doctrine, often in a cast down state because they see so few signs following their labors and come into this word, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yet there is in one viewpoint of it, fellowship with the sufferings of Christ, in how, when he was verily man, he went about. And the Word of God tells us, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. And the other word I have quoted, I have labored in vain and spent my strength for naught, refers to Jesus Christ as verily man also. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, and that was to that extent labor in vain. No signs followed, no results. And so, those of us whom God has sent forth to preach, as we humbly hope, sometimes in our cast down feelings as to our ministry and signs following it, it can be that you can still have fellowship with Jesus Christ as verily man in your labors. And yet, you must not forget that God has guaranteed that my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And now, looking at this word, thinking how Philip would unfold the scriptures to this dear Ethiopian eunuch, I did wonder, looking at this subject, I just make this passing comment, if Philip thought in his mind, when he found out who it was in the chariot, of what was said long years before, Ethiopia shall stretch out her hands unto God. And here was an Ethiopian stretching out the hands of his soul's desire, that he might have a right understanding of the Word of God. And he was a ready scholar, because God had given him a new heart, and he was teachable. He was in agreement with the psalmist, lead me in thy truth, and teach me. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And now he would preach unto him the blessed truth that Jesus was not only some other man with a capital M to describe him. He would make plain to him that Jesus was verily God, verily man. He would seek to show him his wondrous person as the eternal Son of God in his divine nature. And he would lead his thoughts to contemplate that before the world was built, a time was born. In eternity, Jesus Christ dwelt with his Father and with the Holy Spirit in the Blessed Trinity. And I've thought also that in instructing one who as yet does not know much of the things of God, how you need the Holy Spirit to teach you how to do it and to give you words to do it, because it would be useless to use stereotype phraseology because the eunuch would not have understood that. But I have no doubt whatever that Philip was anointed by the Spirit of God to make these things plain in beautiful simplicity, and the eunuch being teachable, the seed fell on good ground, and it did spring up and bore almost immediately some fruit to God's honor and glory, and the eunuch's lasting good. But you must preach Jesus, first of all, as to who he is. One with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, in the Blessed Trinity, his wondrous person. And that Isaiah, in referring to him as man, was setting forth how God the Father had ordained that poor sinners should be saved with an everlasting salvation, and a number which no man can number should fill heaven eventually with his eternal praise. But he would explain to him also how man needed such a Savior. He would set forth the Adam fall and what happened then, and how man was ruined thereby, and his ruin was irretrievable as far as anything that man could do to bring back a better state of affairs and return into the Garden of Eden and live again in that wondrous happiness. He would take up these things and then show how God ordained how his worship must be built upon one basis. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And then he would, shall I say, take the eunuch as he was enabled to Bethlehem, to see that great thing which came to pass there. How God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he would enable him to think of Jesus Christ not as man only, but first of all as a babe. And a babe sheltered in a stable and cradled in a manger. And that it was God's purpose that he must be born a babe and by birth mysterious, because he must have a human nature in which he could dwell on the earth as verily man and suffer in the stead of all those poor sinners God had ordained to life eternal. So that he preached unto him Jesus in his incarnation. And then he would lead him to understand as much as he could at the time that he was made of a woman, made under the law, that he should live his life not for himself, but for the people on whose behalf he came down into the world to seek and save. He would show in preaching Jesus that he was made to be the end of the law for righteousness to everyone which believeth, and that in his life as he lived it, in him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law, in him we then perfection see, and the saints in him are perfect too. Oh, he would show the eunuch his wondrous life as he lived it, going about doing good, and yet he would preach unto him also Jesus in his sufferings, how that he came unto his own, his own received him not. And the people who dwelt in the land of promise, among whom he lived and moved, although he lived such a holy life and ever did sinners good, yet they ever said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." He would preach unto him Jesus in the life that he lived, and that it was a vicarious life, lived on behalf of all the people ordained to life eternal, that they might be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life, being clothed with that righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and which he wrought out in the life he lived. And when he said at the end of it, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And he would show him words in the chapter in Isaiah which he was reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. He would preach to him the sufferings of Christ, and that he lived his life on behalf of his dear people. And when at length he went up Calvary's hill and died, it was that he died as the just for the unjust. Christ died for the ungodly. And he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus in his life as he lived it, the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God. So that his Father said at the end of his life, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in his death, how we would preach Jesus to the eunuch and show him the necessity of it, and that he died in the stead of poor sinners, such as Philip was himself and the eunuch was too. And that when he died, he vanquished death by dying. And although he was crucified between two thieves and was numbered with the transgressors, yet in his death he fulfilled love's redeeming work. And ere he died, he sent out a proclamation which resounded in earth and heaven and hell itself. "It is finished," cried the Lord in his dying minute. "Holy Ghost, repeat the word. Full salvation's in it." And he preached to him Jesus in his life and in his vicarious death. And he preached him in his resurrection on that Easter morn long ago. Into the eunuch that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, all that vast host on whose behalf he came down into the world to seek and save rose in him at the same time in mystical union with him as the church's living head, so that there was a sure guarantee that everyone on whose behalf he lived and died and rose again would be found ultimately a sinner saved by grace. And he would preach to him Jesus to show that the God shone gracious through the man, and that as he lived his life on earth, there were those who did believe on him, owned him as Lord, and followed him with willing feet, and sought to carry their cross for his sake, and to serve him in whatever way they were ordained to do. would also preach to him Jesus, not only that he rose again from the dead, but if the eunuch should say to Philip, "Where is Jesus now?" Philip would tell him, "He is in heaven." When he had done that work he came down into this world to do, he ascended up on high, heralded by the angelic host, and returned to heaven. And he is there, as sure as you and I are riding in this chariot. Jesus Christ is in heaven at his Father's right hand, and he is there as the sinner's friend. And if you feel toward him, as I believe you do, you will find he will befriend you for time and eternity too. And he preached unto him Jesus. And he must have said something too. In preaching unto him Jesus, he preached to him his suitability to poor sinners. He made it plain, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he made it plain too, not only was there a wondrous suitability to supply all that a poor sinner needed to be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life, he preached Jesus in his sufficiency, and that a fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure hath laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. And then I'm sure that in preaching unto him Jesus, he preached to him his sympathy. He assured him, "This man receiveth sinners." He made it plain that his well-known name among men was and still is, "Whom, though we cannot comprehend, knowing thou art the sinner's friend, we love thee and adore." Yes, he preached his suitability, his sufficiency. He made it plain that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. The blood of Christ, O precious blood, cleanseth from all sin. Doubt it not, and reconciles the soul to God from every folly and every fault. And he would preach unto him Jesus and show him how he could get in touch with him whenever his soul desired to do so, that he now reigns on a throne of grace, and that poor sinners in their felt need of divine aid are ever made welcome in drawing near to the majesty of heaven in that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And he would make plain to him why he was called Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he preached unto him Jesus. And then there is another thought. He would preach Jesus to him, not only, as I have already hinted, in his sovereignty, and in his suitability, and in his sufficiency, as the sinner's friend, and in the sympathy he ever delights to show to poor sinners in their felt need of who he is as the sinner's friend. He preached Jesus to him in his supremacy. And that is, he would make it plain to the eunuch If you feel as you do that this man is attractive to you and you want to be on his side, then he must be supreme altogether in your life. He must be first in all that you do. As you fill your great office, you must think. What think ye of Christ in what you do? And do nothing at all that would in any way be derogatory to him and his honor. And what saith the scriptures, you must be if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that would bring him to say just a word or two how people, feeling like the eunuch did, could make it manifest that they were on the Lord's side, and that Jesus Christ, as verily man, when he dwelt on earth, came to John the Baptist to be baptized. He would tell him that John the Baptist, being who he was, hesitated, and yet Jesus Christ made it plain to him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he told the eunuch, I have no doubt, that when Jesus Christ was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven itself, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit was made manifest, lighting upon him in the water, in the form of a dove. And that Jesus says to each believer, be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. And now these things took some time, but then the journey was very long, and there was the time, and the eunuch was teachable, as I have said. His ear was attent to what Philip had to say on God's behalf. And as I said earlier, the seed was falling into good ground, and it is very evident that one word in Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled in the eunuch's case. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and his soul was illuminated with heavenly light, and he began to see things in a right light, and he desired that he might be a follower of Jesus Christ, of whom he was reading, yet not knowing who at that time the other man was he was reading about. But Philip had made it plain on God's behalf. And so it goes on. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, I want to follow Jesus. I do not want to be ashamed of what I feel working in my breast as to who he is. I want to make it known that I am a believer in him. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Is there yet more knowledge I must be the subject of? Is there a time that I must wait till I go deeper down into the truth you have opened up to me as God has helped you? What doth hinder me to be baptized? Is there a hindrance? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. A beautiful statement, a great confession of faith. And he wanted to make it plain that he was influenced by what he had been led by God to believe concerning Jesus Christ. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. I have no doubt, had Philip remained, that the eunuch would have wanted to not only thank him for the great good he had been the means under God's hand of bringing into his soul's experience, but to have rewarded him, but there was to be nothing like that. All the glory was to be given to God. Philip had the encouragement that he had done that work which God ordained that he should do. And as for the eunuch, dear good man, he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, a long way off, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. God had some more work for him to do there. And now, coming back to this confession of faith, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I do like this word in Romans. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then there is a word that dropped from the lips of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, that you might ponder these things in your hearts, dear friends. And some of you who know what you should be doing to the honor of God and his glory, and to make manifest before God and man alike whose you are and whom you serve, may you realize there is nothing whatever to hinder you to be baptized, but the word of the Lord is on your side. Them that honor me, I will honor, in keeping his commandments, not for keeping, in keeping his commandments, there is great reward. The Lord help you to lay these things to heart. Amen.
Number 118, June 20, 247. Thou dear Redeemer, dying man, is not the dear of thee, no music like thy charming name, nor half so sweet can be. 119.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.